Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for responding to our invitation. As you can see, many representatives from the Peace Implementation Council Steering Board wished and managed to join me here today, despite their busy schedules. As you know, many ministers are in town, and the Turkish ambassador just returned from the airport because also his minister was here, Ahmet Davutoğlu, and a number of other ministers, and I think the Spanish colleague is excused, yeah?
Yes.
Because he is also a state secretary here, maybe he will join us later, but in any case, I would like to brief you on international judges and prosecutors. I would also like to brief you on Mostar, because we made two decisions in this regard, and I would like to start with the judiciary area. Solid and functioning judicial institutions are the cornerstone of any democratic state founded on respect for rule of law, and which I am sure Bosnia-Herzegovina wants to be as well. This is why the decisions I am taking today are so difficult, simply because your authorities once again failed to act, either to extend the international presence in the judiciary or to provide for the replacement by citizens of Bosnia-Herzegovina. And this is one issue which we have really to decide and think about. If somebody is against foreign judges and prosecutors, I think it is his legitimate right, but then he must be logical and also take consequences to replace internationals by locals. Because prosecution of war crimes is a specific international obligation, and you know that we have these ICTY obligations, I have decided with the Peace Implementation Council Steering Board and its unanimous support to extend the mandates of international judges and prosecutors working on war crime cases in the court and prosecutor's office of Bosnia-Herzegovina for another 3 years. Judges and prosecutors in the war crimes area, we have now an extension for 3 years, which means until 31st of December 2012. My logic is simply that not extending the internationals in the Department for War Crimes could have serious consequences for the ongoing trials, would jeopardize cases, endanger the ICTY closure strategy, and most seriously mean that witnesses would have to repeat the painful testimony once again in front of the accused. I simply could not allow the situation where a woman who was raped would have to relive the experience in a court once again and again. However, this does not prevent BIH institutions from the obligation to start planning without delay for providing the budget and the personnel themselves in order to secure a gradual transition from an executive international presence to a strictly national executive role. When it comes to the issue of organized crime and corruption, this too is an area of great concern to us. The rule of law is one of the key European priorities, and the European Union will insist that this country has a fully functioning legal system. And later you will learn from Dimitris Kourkoulas how much the European Union has already invested so far until today in the rule of law in Bosnia-Herzegovina. However, and because it is such a responsibility towards its citizens and towards the European Union, rather than making the decision for Bosnia-Herzegovina, I believe I need to let the country and its institutions take full ownership here. The local professionals are serious and capable people, and they can do anything the internationals can, and can do it many times even much better. The international community will, however, continue to support these institutions in a non-executive manner. Accordingly, the international judges and prosecutors currently working on organized crime and corruption will continue to stay in Bosnia and Herzegovina, but in a different capacity. They will stay here as advisors. Yeah? This, of course, has been one of my more difficult decisions in my life, and I'm aware that it will not please anyone. What I do hope, however, is that it will give some relief to the victims of war crimes and ensure that this area, which is essential for reconciliation, is strengthened. I have also learned from high-level officials, from the judicial and prosecutorial areas, that all these cases which have been handled so far in organized crime by internationals will not be stopped, and will not be put into the file, but local judges and prosecutors will continue to work on these cases. But of course, under the leadership of local judges and prosecutors, and you know that you have very many, very excellent judges and prosecutors, and I like only to remind you of the Gashi case, which is one of the most famous cases, and which showed the excellence, professionalism, and courage of your judges and prosecutors, and especially Mr. Oleg Čavka, who is, of course, an example for others who also do excellent work in your country. And he and other prosecutors are demonstrating in what country they like to live, in a country of rule of law, where they can plan their future for themselves, for their children, in the country where you have a safe and secure environment, simply in a normal country, as your people say it. On Mostar, I'm also taking a decision. Today, as you are aware, we didn't have an elected mayor for 14 months, nor a budget for 2009. This has dramatic consequences on the citizens of Mostar, and it is scandalous and shocking that political leaders, which I have elected to address these issues, have shown no serious will, no serious willingness to do so. I have already had to act twice on Mostar. You know that I did it reluctantly, and I used only my bomb powers in a technical way to extend the budget and also to impose secret balloting, which is in the statute of Mostar. Anyway, in Article 36. And as a secret vote which I imposed or which I recalled and which has been used before, as a secret vote has been misused this time, and bearing in mind the deteriorating conditions in the city, I now have to step in Mostar again. I have decided to amend the city statute, because previously there was no need to amend the city statute, because secret balloting is foreseen anyway in the city statute. It was not only not applied. But this time I have to amend the city statute in order to introduce a simple majority, in the third round of voting in Mostar. And accordingly, in the first two rounds, two-thirds of majority will be necessary, according to the city statute. But in the third round, a simple majority of councillors present and voting will suffice. Hopefully, and I have included a clause obliging political parties to attend the session in this respect, hopefully this will result in the election of a mayor. We still have this necessity of having a qualified presence during the voting. It is a quorum, which would mean that 18 city councillors at least have to be present. I think this is very important to maintain the legality, legitimacy, and dignity of the new mayor, that he is being elected by more than half of the city councillors. Otherwise, it could happen with just a simple majority. Without quorum, it could happen that he would get 4 votes or 3 votes or whatever. This we like to prevent. So we are asking for a quorum during the election. And if this quorum is achieved, a simple majority would suffice of those present. I have also decided to include a provision dealing with the budget, setting tight timelines for the mayor to formulate a proposal and for the city council to adopt it. Should this fail, the mayor could also adopt the budget himself. It's about the 2009 budget, the 2009 budget which has to be closed, and in order also to allow the city of Mostar to prepare for a 2010 budget. I trust that with these measures and with the willingness of all political actors, we can finally move forward on this and reach a situation where the citizens of Mostar's legitimate expectations are finally addressed. Thank you very much for your attention, and I would like now to ask the presidency country, Sweden, also to make a brief statement.
Thank you, Hyrep. I will be very brief to confirm that the EU heads of missions strongly support and stand behind the decisions taken by the High Representative. I would limit myself to the legal issues in saying that also for the EU, the cooperation with ICTY is a key priority in the European partnership with Bosnia and Herzegovina, and is of particular importance for Bosnia's further progress towards EU membership. The distinction that was made between war crimes and organized crime is, as the High Rep said, that there are special international obligations of Bosnia to deal with war crimes. We also believe that the national prosecutors know the environment regarding organized crime as well as international prosecutors and judges. And the international community is not abandoning organized crime. As you will hear from the European Commission and also individual member states, we stand ready with firm support to continued assistance to the justice sector in general, and this includes also support to the court and state prosecutor to continue to fight organized crime, corruption, and terrorism in this country. Thank you.
Thanks. I just wanted to add to what Ambassador Hedberg, what he said. I would like to add that, of course, the European Commission strongly and fully supports the decision of the High Rep today. Let me give you some data about our cooperation with your country in the area of organized crime and corruption. Because, as you know, this is a key criterion for accession to the European Union. And for this reason, we pay particular attention so that the countries, all the countries of the region, the candidate and potential candidate countries, can address this issue effectively. And it is not a secret that with the level of performance of your country now in these two areas, your country does not qualify for accession to the European Union. For this reason, for many years now, we have paid particular attention. We have provided assistance and expertise to local judges, prosecutors, and police in Bosnia and Herzegovina. And our financial envelope for the rule of law in the period 2003-2008 exceeded 30 million euros. In the areas of fight against corruption, organized crime, more specifically, over 11 million have been allocated during the period 2006-2009. Some of these projects are still in the phase of implementation. These funds, in the last 3 years, mainly focused on reinforcing the capacities of the Registry for War Crimes and Organized Crime of the BIH Court and Prosecutor's Office. in reinforcing the High Judicial and Prosecutorial Council, training of officials of the Ministry of Justice in key areas related to EU justice standards, or increasing the efficiency of the BIH judiciary through the establishment of a case management system for courts and prosecutor's office. This is a very important project which is covering the whole country. The EU has also provided expertise in the development of the BIH strategy and action plan 2010-2014, which was adopted recently by the Council of Ministers to fight corruption, and also in the preparation of the law on the agency for prevention of corruption. As you know, this draft piece of legislation is still pending in front of the Parliament, and it is a very important benchmark for your country to fulfill the roadmap for visa liberalization. So this is very briefly what we have done till now. I'm glad to report to you that only for the year 2010, for next year, we have earmarked 14 million euros to support law enforcement. 4 million out of this amount are foreseen to develop, in particular, capacities of judges and prosecutors at state and entity levels in the area of fight against organized crime and corruption. 2 million euros for technical assistance for the implementation of the anti-corruption strategy, focusing on training of the judiciary, public administration and the business community, and 8 million euros for training of police officers at state and entity levels, aiming above all at improving cooperation between police, prosecutors and judiciary in the area of organized crime and corruption. So this is very briefly what we are planning for next year, but of course our cooperation in this area will continue also beyond 2010. Thank you.
Thank you, Franny. Let me make this point clear and unequivocal. The High Representative enjoys the full and complete support of the United States. And in particular, the United States endorses fully and unequivocally the High Representative's decisions today. The High Representative has announced several decisions, but I want to focus my brief remarks on his decision regarding the extension of international judges and prosecutors in the war crimes chamber of the BIH court, state court. First of all, let me note that the High Representative, in making this decision, I want to emphasize the fact that he enjoys the full unanimous support of the Peace Implementation Council. And I want to just comment briefly on the focus on war crimes. As my colleagues have said, war crimes, the prosecution of war crimes, is a special international obligation. And there is strong and ample precedent for international involvement in the prosecution of such crimes. The international involvement in the prosecution and trial of such crimes will continue. The United States welcomes the High Representative's decision in that regard. We, like other members of the Peace Implementation Council, remain very concerned about organized crime, corruption, and terrorism in Bosnia and Herzegovina. But we believe that it is time for the authorities of Bosnia and Herzegovina to take over the full executive mandate in this area. They will do so with strong support of the international community. My colleague, Ambassador Kurkulas, has laid out a very detailed plan on behalf of the European Commission for such support. Without going into detail on the U.S. side, let me just say that the U.S. has been a vigorous supporter of rule of law through many programs of assistance. Those programs of assistance will continue, and As the High Rep has announced that international judges and prosecutors should be invited to remain in Bosnia and Herzegovina to work as advisors on the organized crime, corruption, and terrorism portfolios, the United States will support financially the continuation of international judges and prosecutors in that role. Again, let me emphasize our support, the United States support, for the actions of the High Representative are full and unequivocal, and we commend the High Representative for his courageous actions today. Thank you very much.
Thank you. As a first point, allow me to reconfirm or to announce again general Russian approach concerning High Rep's executive powers. You know well, I believe, that Russia is not very happy about using these powers, and we still believe that this is not good and productive practice at the moment. But concerning war crimes and concerning extension of mandates for judges dealing with such cases, we, allow me to say, we are making exception. Russia doesn't object this decision of High Representative, having in mind the importance and of these cases, having in mind that these cases are extremely sensitive. Also, we took into consideration, of course, that war crimes are a part of so-called Dayton mandate of High Representative. And also we are following and also bearing in mind discussions in the Security Council and relevant Security Council, UN Security Council decisions in this area. So initially in course of our discussions, personally I suggested for Valentin Inzko to extend this mandate only for 1 year. So it was my personal belief that it could be good, but so the majority's decision was to in favor of extension for 3 years. But additional point which I like to mention here in this part of my address, of my remark, is that we expect, of course, that these judges will continue their work and on equal footing and seriously consider all cases in balanced manner. The last point I like to deliver now concerns the area of organized crime. So we are happy that mandates of those dealing with these cases in weeks to come will be over, no extension. I believe it is fully in line with PIC strategy of the ownership. As for advisory role, my understanding is that it will depend on including on decision of local domestic authorities, and so they could work in this capacity if they are if there is invitation by authorities of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Thank you.
Thank you, Frauna. I would like to reinforce a number of the points that have been made by my colleagues. The United Kingdom strongly supports the decision of the decisions of the High Representative in respect of Mostar and in respect of extending the mandate of international judges and prosecutors working in the War Crimes Department of the Bosnia and Herzegovina State Court and Prosecutor's Office. The ICTY has made very clear that the departure of international personnel would significantly and negatively impact on Bosnia and Herzegovina's capacity to meet its international obligations in respect of the ICTY. That was a concern that had to be addressed. I would like to add that this step was taken by the High Representative only after persistent but unproductive efforts to persuade Bosnia and Herzegovina's politicians to discharge this responsibility themselves. Effective rule of law is vital for Bosnia and Herzegovina's future and for its prospects of European integration. You've heard from several of my colleagues their pledges of support for further assistance to this end. I would like to say that the United Kingdom will continue its support for the rule of law in Bosnia and Herzegovina and to support efforts to strengthen the capacity of the State Court and Prosecutor's Office. The United Kingdom also urges Bosnia and Herzegovina's politicians to demonstrate that they are serious about the rule of law, including by addressing their responsibility to provide for strong and effective judicial institutions at all levels.
Nadine Šarić, Ben Televizija. Pitanje za visokog predstavnika i ukoliko mogu neko da, od ambasadora, prije svega Sjedinjene Američke Države, Rusija i Švedska, naravno. Dakle, čuli ste već ranije najave iz Republike Srpske da neće prihvatiti više ni jednu nametnutu odluku i da će po pitanju stranih sudija tužilaca raspisati referendum. Kako biste to prokomentarisali? I komentar nedavne odluke kada je odbačena, obustavljena istraga oko zločina nad Srbima u Bradini i Tuzlanskoj koloni od strane stranog tužioca, naravno.
I do not want to speculate about an intention of some politicians. There were several politicians who made some statements. I do not want to speculate about such intentions in Republika Srpska about my decision. I also don't want to comment it further. And as far as Tuzlanska Kolonia is concerned, this decision is not yet full in force. You say nije još pravo snažna. And there is still a possibility that an appeal is being made to the main prosecutor from those who feel that they have not got their rights. And because this is not yet fully in force, I also wouldn't like to comment it. And there is a possibility, I asked legal advisors, there is a possibility to make here an appeal, a prigovor, and because this is still possible and because this case is not yet closed, I would not like to comment it further.
Televizija Republike Srpske. Procesuiranje ratnih zločina je posebna obaveza Bosne i Hercegovine, to ste vi, gospodin Insko, rekli, gospodin Ingliš, i na osnovu toga principu donesena je ovakva odluka. Vratit ću se na pitanje prethodno moje kolegice. Ako produžavate mandat stranim tužiocima i sudijama koji obustavljaju istrage protiv istrage u kojima se desio zločina srpskim narodom, konkretno u Bradini kod Konjica, kakvu poruku šaljete Srbima u Bosni i Hercegovini? Konkretno, da li je, ja ću opet insistirati na odgovor na ovo pitanje, odluka gospodina Švendimena uperena protiv srpskog naroda. U Bradini je brutalno za dva dana ubijeno 88 civila gospodine Insko, ne govorim o Tuzlanskoj koloni. Selo je etnički očišćeno i gospodin Švendimen je odustao od istrage pored preživjelih pored konkretnih dokaza, kaže da tu nema elemenata za istragu.
Ja žalim, vi znate moj stav, svaku žrtvu, svaki život je samo jedan i ne može se ponoviti, ali ta odluka nije još pravosnažna, a pored toga postoji mogućnost da se uloži prigovor glavnom tužiocu od strane oštećenih, da? Tako da te mogućnosti još postoje.
Eldin Hadžović, magazin Dani. Ja bih volio da vam čestitam i da vam zahvalim na ovoj današnjoj odluci. Prije svega zbog toga što je hrabra i principijelna iznad svega. Prije kad ovo kažem, mislim na sve vas članove Vijeća za implementaciju mira, pardon, i na vas gospodine Incko pogotovo. Ako bih mogao samo da vas podsjetim da ste u julu ove godine... Ako mogu pola minute, postavit ću pitanje. Dakle, moram napraviti neki uvod. Dakle, vi ste u julu ove godine apelovali svi zajedno iz Vijeća za implementaciju mira i na gospodina Nikolu Špirića da kada je donošena odluka odnosno prije nego što je donošena odluka o ostanku stranih sudija i tužilaca. Molim vas, vi ste ovom odlukom nagradili kriminalce u vlasti, nagradili ste organizirani kriminal. Samo da vam jedan mali primjer navedem. Prošle sedmice jedan lokalni sudija nije smogao hrabrosti da donese odluku protiv gospodina Milorada Dodika koji je brutalno javno izvrijeđao jednog također političara u Bosni i Hercegovini. Šta mislite, hoćete li, evo pitanje, šta mislite, hoće li to uraditi sudije kada budu procesuirali, odnosno tužioci kada budu procesuirali krivičnu prijavu za preko 150 miliona maraka? Hvala
na pitanju i zaista, naravno to sam rekao i bilo je tu i pismo gospodina Javiera Solane, ja mislim 22. jula ove godine, pismo gospodinu Spiriću, te isto zamolio lokalne vlasti gospodina Spirića da preduzimaju sve mjere da bi se našlo financiranje za lokalne sudije i tužioce i za produžetak stranih tužioca i sudija. To je tačno. Ja bih još isto želio da treba povećati sistematizaciju kod broja tužilaca, pošto njih je malo, da treba ih više. Oni imaju težak rad, imaju puno slučajeva. Tu je jedna velika dilema. Ja se slažem s vama, da. Stranci ili ne stranci, prvo, nema ih više toliko, da. One kao sudije ne rade na puno slučajeva, radili su na nekim slučajevima kao tužioci. Međutim, ja mislim ako bude donesena neka optužba protiv nekog čovjeka i neke osobe, a to bude uradio lokalni tužilac, ja mislim da ima to veću težu. Zaista moram još jedan put posjetiti na slučaj Gaši. Vi znate da neki političari osporavaju međunarodne sudije tužioce, da oni nemaju legitimitet. A ja zaista mislim, to sam duboko ubeđen, da lokalni tužioci i sudje imaju pravi legitimitet od naroda, od svojih organa ovde, i da je takva optužba ili sudba mnogo jačija ako to napravi neki Oleg Čavka ili bilo koji, svi su ti jako hrabri i mi ih svi poštujemo. A moram još da kažem da od stranih sudija i tužioca niko neće napustiti zemlju. Oni svi ostaju, ali kod organiziranog kriminala oni će ostati u kapacitetu savjetnika. Još jedan citat ako želite, razgovarao sam naravno i sa vašim vlastima i sad mogu da citiram: nijedan slučaj neće biti stavljen u ladicu, to je citat, nijedan slučaj neće biti zaustavljen. Tako da mislim da je to jasna pouka, jasni stav domaćih, ali koje treba da svi podržavamo i mi ćemo ih dalje podržavati. I ove strance koje su tu, međutim ti stranci, to je ista priča kao sa OHR-om. Polako treba stvari da se menjaju, da dođe do tranzicije, da dođe do modifikacije ove situacije sadašnje, da se strane sudije i tužioci polako povlače, da domaći preuzmu u toku 3 godine recimo rad, a ovi koji će ovdje ostati kao savjetnici, oni mogu ostati i duže. Ali to nije cilj da ostaju duže, oni mogu i 5 godina recimo, tu nema granice. Da? Cilj je da sve više i više preuzimaju domaći odgovornost i teret, naravno i to. Drago mi je bilo danas u parlamentu kad sam imao sastanak kratak usput kod sastanka o civilizacijama sa gospodinom Berizom Belkićom i sa jednim poslanikom iz Republike Srpske. Oni su mi rekli da je već jedan zakon u proceduri, osnutak zakona o produžavanju sudija na svim područjima. Ja detalje ne znam, ali pogotovo i da se stavi na raspolaganje pravi budžetski okvir za vaše sudije, za vaše tužioce. Ja? Zaista je sramota kad neki tužilac ili sudija iz Banja Luke koji bi želeo da radi u Sarajevu, to dosta puta ne može, pošto nema više ovih nadoknada za odvojeni život, kilometražu i tako dalje, neke dnevnice i to. To je zaista tužno, međutim, gospodin Belkić mi je rekao da je to sad u proceduri. Ja naravno nemam nikakve garancije da će ta procedura uspjeti, međutim, to je, mislim, pravi početak i, što sam već ranije pomenuo, sistematizacija. Ja. Što se tiče vašeg pitanja, još jedan put, mi nismo bili u nikakvim pregovorima s nijednim političarom, ja nisam imao nikakve sastanke sa njima i ja mislim da tu ne može biti nekih sastanaka ili pregovora, pošto tu je u pitanju vladavina prava i o tome se ne može pregovarati.
Molim. Ajd Mršić, Radio Federacije Bosne i Hercegovine. Gospodine Incko, da li je međunarodna zajednica poklekla pred pritiscima Republike Srpske i premijera Milorada Dodika kada je riječ o sudijama i tužiocima iz Odjela za organizirani kriminal? Vi ovdje navodite slučaj Alija Gašija, to je samo kap u moru organiziranog kriminala koji je jedva i na muke doveden, evo, još nije ni doveden pred svršen čin, jeli, prebačen je ponovo federalnom odjelu. Interesira me da prokomentirate ovo pitanje i šta to znači savjetodavna uloga sudija i tužilaca za organizirani kriminal i koliko će ona trajati?
Da, još jednom, mi smo već ranije rekli, gospodin ambasador i ja, da stranci će biti pozvani da ostaju, svi, i znači da tu nema nekog, ne mijenja se ništa, broj stranaca i prisutnost stranaca, ne mijenja se ništa. I rekao...
Ja se živam, moram, jer gledaj, jeste vi donijeli odluku da oni ostaju kao stranici?
Ja sam rekao ranije da slučaju ostaju, oni ne idu u ladicu i neće biti zaustavljeni, ali to će raditi ono šefovi odjeljenja u tužilaštvu koje su domaći. Ta želja postoji kod ratnih zločinaca da i tamo preuzmu sva odjeljenja domaći tužioci i sudije, a da stranci samo tamo pomagaju. To će biti slučaj ovdje, oni će raditi kao savjetnici kod organiziranog kriminala sa svim svojim znanjem, sa svojim iskustvom, sa svim radom koje su do sada uradili. I međutim, glavni odgovorni koji će dati potpise, to će biti domaće sudije, domaći tužioci. Ja mislim da je to prava politika. Što se tiče ovog drugog pitanja ad hoc, izvinite da ću to opet na engleski, procedura je sljedeća. The court and prosecutor's office will assess the needs, how many foreigners they need. The court and prosecutor's office and the registry, the Bosnian registry, would then translate these needs into a budget. And the registry would then be in contact with donors. But the decision on the side of donors has already been taken to put funds and to make funds available for international lawyers, yeah, who will be advisors in future. And donors would commit funds either for the local judges and prosecutors, or they would second nationals from their own countries as advisors. This is the procedure. would like to say something on this.
Molim vas, mi ćemo govoriti na prvo pitanje, da li je međunarodna zajednica popekla pred Miloradom Dodikom i pritiskom...
U kakvom smislu to mislite?
Pa evo, jedini je Milorad Dodik tražio da se ukine, u principu da se ukine taj odjel, ja bih...
Mislim, ja sad treći put kažem, ali neću se više ponavljati, da. Slučajevi idu dalje, ništa se ne zaustavlja i ne razumijem zašto je onda međunarodna zajednica kleknula, a međunarodni sud je i tužioci ostaju, ali u drugom kvalitetu.
Question for Ambassador Insko. Gareth Tankusic-Kelly from the Irish Times. Ambassador, I'm here. I look at this as an Irish person who's worked in the region for the last 15 years on both sides of the camera. I'll put aside the fact that when you talk about the European approach to corruption and transparency, that it's been shown in several of the countries which have entered recently, Bulgaria and Romania, to name but two, that the European approach to corruption and transparency is lacking, that all of the countries in the region where you don't have this unusual mechanism, the progress reports in these countries are full of, there is no high-level prosecution of high-level politicians. Okay? Let's put that aside. Now to ask you a question. It looks to me, after what Mr. Dodik said, that he would accept war criminal prosecutions but not corruption and transparency, that you took a gamble and you didn't want to antagonize him because of the cases against him and the alleged amounts of money he has from privatization, and that what you did was you gambled on appeasement by keeping only the prosecution for war crimes, and that it's failed because you're now going to have a referendum. That you failed, basically.
Well, this is your interpretation, yeah. And I'm sorry you didn't listen to my answers, you know, before, because I said that no case will be stopped. No case will be stopped, it will continue. Yeah, and we can be proud of prosecutors of who are citizens of Bosnia and Herzegovina.
I think the point is, just to continue, that the judges here feel that the international judges, good or bad, provide them with cover.
Yes, you're right, and they are staying. They are staying.
But they won't have any effect of stability. They'll be able to advise them.
Sorry, it's not a debate. Ambassador Kukulas would like to say.
Since you mentioned the EU strategy for accession and you mentioned some member states, I can confirm that corruption and organized crime has been a problem not only in this country, in many countries, all the new member states of the European Union. But if you see exactly the example of the two member states that you mentioned, our policy has been very consistent. We want a proof that the system of rule of law is sustainable, and sustainable can only be if it is owned by the country. I mean, the presence of internationalists is an exception. I'm not going to make a judgment now if our policy has given results or not. What I can tell you, and I said in my intervention, that this country needs to do substantial progress in this area, including what you said, concrete cases of conviction of organized crime and corruption. This we are not saying. I'm not saying this only in this country. I was saying exactly the same in other countries, and we took some measures against these countries that did not fulfill these requirements. I will not be surprised if your country will not be able to join the European Union if there is no dramatic improvement in this area. But this has nothing to do, or it is a different issue. On the compared to the question, can you do it better with internationals or not? I think there is still a lot to be done. We are going to continue to assist this country. We are not going to leave this country alone. But at the end of the road, this country has to prove that it has a sustainable legal system that can combat corruption and organized crime.
Hvala vam puno, kao što nisu svi ambasadori mogli govoriti, ne mogu vam svima dati riječ.
Samo kratko, molim vas. Politika vaša do sad je bila s ovom Bosnom i Hercegovinom. Naprijed, jedan korak, nazad, pet. Hoće li tako biti dalje, molim vas?
Ako ne postavite pitanje mikrofon, ne može vam neko odgovoriti.
Koja je sljedeća želja Milorada Dodika koju ćete vi reći za implementaciju mira?
Hvala vam.
Na ovakav
način. Hvala vam.
Koja je sljedeća?
Okay, let's stop this.
Are we done? Next speech at the Alliance of Civilization.
Thanks. Is it a press conference or a demonstration?